The Bible tells us very specifically that we need to learn from each other. It tells us that in so many ways. Speaking to one another in hymns and spiritual songs, teaching and admonishing one another. It tells us, Paul told Titus, you tell those older women they need to teach the younger women. Well, nobody wants to sit around and think about being an older woman. We say it a lot in here, but it bears repeating. Somebody in this room's older than you. Learn from them. Somebody in this room's younger than you. Teach them and teach them something good, because they're going to learn from you. They're either going to learn a good lesson from you or they're going to learn a bad lesson from you. I've learned a lot of lessons from some older ladies. When I was in the sixth grade, my great aunt Bonnie taught me how to make scratch biscuits. That's a lesson that'll stick with you and your husband will appreciate it. My mama taught me about hospitality. She taught me how to sing in harmony. She taught me a lot of, she taught me discipline. She taught me discipline with the hairbrush and the fly swatter and the hand and the wooden spoon. My grandma taught me the importance of healthy eating. My other grandma taught me the complete opposite. That grandma taught me about cooking for a crowd. She taught me about Big Christmas and how much fun it is to be with the family. She taught me that if one of your children doesn't like whatever the ingredients are in the casserole, make a second one just for him. At Christmas, we had 3 pans of chicken and dressing. You know, we didn't stuff our turkeys, we dressed them, right? So she had one that had everything in it, one that didn't have sage, and one that didn't have onions. 3 pans of dressing, and Daddy, because he didn't like onions back then, had his whole own pan of dressing. And I said, now, Grandma, he could pick those onions out. She said, no, because it's important for your children to, like, well, Mama don't run a short cook, right? It's not a diner at our house, but I learned that lesson from my grandma. To as much as possible, if it's within her, she was going to accommodate everybody. From David's mom, I learned the importance of getting double prints when you purchase your photos down at the Eckerd's. Yes, I did. Mommy taught me paying kindness forward. Elizabeth Summerlight taught me that. Mama Louise Cox. My mom and daddy are the campus grandparents at Fried Hardeman University right now. When I was at Fried Hardeman University, the campus grandparents were Papa Charlie and Mama Louise. And they had been those grandparents pretty much since, in my remembrance, I was in, I reckon, 5th or 6th grade. And Mama Louise taught my Horizons Bible class. She taught me the importance of keeping a promise. We had an entire week lesson on the verse in Proverbs that talks about words, and it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And she said, your words are important. Use them wisely. Keep your promises. That's what she taught me. She also taught me that the best breakfast you can have is fresh cinnamon rolls and a cold Coca-Cola in a can. Miss Rosemary McKnight taught me that it's important for ladies to teach ladies. Jackie Jenkins taught me that you can make your kids sit on their bottoms on the church pew. And she didn't intend to teach me that lesson, but I learned it. Kathy Powell, my very first youth director's wife, taught me to trust God. They were pregnant with their first child, and she was sick and took some medicine and did not know that she was pregnant. And when they discovered that she was pregnant, her doctor told her, you're going to have to abort that baby. And she said, no, sir, I will not. And he said, that baby's going to be damaged, that baby's going to be sick, and you're doing a disservice to this child if you take it to term. And she said, I trust God. Her Katie's the most beautiful young woman you've ever met in your life. She was a hostess at Macon Music. She was born as perfect as a child could be born. And even if she hadn't been, David and Kathy taught me to trust God. As younger women, we have a God-given responsibility to listen to and learn from older women. Sometimes you gotta look for the lessons, girls. Sometimes you gotta look for the lessons. Look for the lessons. Tonight we don't have to look. Tonight we have some really beautifully gift-wrapped lessons just waiting for us. And we have some women who, listen, it's not easy to sit up here in front of everybody. Are you having fun, Aunt Pat? She's so like,
far. I like hearing you.
Well, I'm going to like hearing you too. We have given them ahead of time 5 questions. We're not taking audience questions, okay? This is not Geraldo. We're going to ask them some questions. And what we intended to do last time was not make everybody answer the same question, but it kind of worked out that we did anyhow. So what we're going to do is we're just going to pass the microphone around. You know, y'all can share it, and we'll jump right into it. These are some good questions, and I think they help us to understand where y'all are coming from, so that when you give us those good lessons, we understand where they came from. Where's somebody back there? Taylor Sue, would you run and shut those doors, honey? Thank you. Granny, you've got the microphones. We're going to let you start first. Inell Ingram, known to many of us as Granny. Granny, what brought you to the Lord? What brought you to the church?
I grew up in the Bible Belt, one thing. My mother's family was all Christians, so I grew up in a Christian family, except for my grandmother. Now, they produced sons, and they had brothers, but the area I lived in, the church, was strong.
Yeah.
And
Alabama, yes?
Yes, North Alabama.
A lot of Bible in the Bible Belt there in Alabama.
Yeah. I also grew up in a depression, so it wasn't a lot of fancy stuff. It was whatever someone had.
Yeah.
And you learn to share with one another, love one another. You were just all family.
Yeah. Do you find it to have been a tremendous blessing to grow up in the church like that?
Yes.
It's like Paul talking to Timothy's family, and he says, you've known it pretty much since birth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And I was blessed to attend the Christian high school for my last 4 years.
That is a blessing.
And all of our teachers were preachers. So
sometimes we don't realize what a blessing the opportunities that we have to learn are. I grew up in the Bible Belt like that. You know, I didn't just grow up in the Bible Belt. I grew up in the Holy Land of Henderson, Tennessee, right there at the feet of Freed Hardeman University. And I didn't realize, you know, I mean, Alan Hires taught the Sunday morning Bible class. We didn't realize what a tremendous blessing we had to have all of those opportunities to learn from such great preachers. And there was a devotional every night of the week somewhere on the campus. And if we wanted to go into town, we could sit and sing with a bunch of college kids. Until you are removed from that, you don't realize what a blessing it is. And so it's important for us to realize, one, how blessed we are here at Palm Beach Lakes to have all those kind of opportunities, to get to sit in opportunities like this. But it's also important for us to think about making those opportunities. You know, we have these family group meetings, and we have these opportunities for us to get together. We need to be taking advantage of every opportunity that God gives us to learn, as you say. Thank you. So the next question then is, how'd you learn about the gospel? I reckon you learned it at home.
I did.
All right. How about it, Miss Joyce? We're going to pass that microphone down. What brought you to the church?
My life is not like
that's totally all right.
Opposite of what hers was. I'm loud if I get talking.
That's all right. We want you to be loud. They need to hear you all the way back there.
I was a Catholic, and I was a practicing Catholic, and my older children went to Catholic school. But came a time when something brought to my attention that how hypocritical it was, and it was like, I can't go there anymore. But I didn't. I always, you know, we were taught that Catholic was the first church,
mm-hmm.
and I knew all the denominations fell away from that, and I wasn't going to go to them, so I didn't know what I was going to do, and happened to be talking to somebody and talking about that, and found out that there was a group of people over here at this place that worshipped, or they followed only the Bible. So I always believed the Bible was God's word, never opened it, because we were taught that the priest had to tell you what it was about. And so I went to a little congregation that's not there anymore up in North Palm Beach, and had a Bible study, was baptized. I mean, as soon as I saw what I needed to do, I wanted to be baptized, but it was funny because I figured all these people in the church, they were all these good people that I wasn't. And I didn't know, you know, I wasn't like them. So, no, I found out that what baptism was and what it was about. And,
that was very brave.
And I was baptized. I mean, I wanted to be baptized as soon as I knew, but we had a couple studies, and I said, well, I want to be baptized. So then the preacher there was going to, about 3 months later, was going to be leaving. The family was going to be moving away. And he said, you need to go to Palm Beach Lakes. And he said, they're a big congregation. They have classes you're going to learn there, and children will have be in classes, and they'll be able to learn. And he said, I already talked to Bill Hatcher about you.
So they're expecting you.
Yeah, so that he more or less, Bill was more or less my father in the faith.
Yeah.
He saw that I, you know, that I learned and whatever, and I learned so much. It's like, if you would be asking me about best advice on an older Christian, I wouldn't even think of any thing. It was like anything I wanted to know, I went to him.
Yeah.
And so it was just, there was a lot of teaching in the Old Testament, and anybody that might be a new Christian here that would not know that the Old Testament will give you the best foundation. You need to know the Old Testament.
And these things are written for our learning.
Yes. The foundation is like you realize what everything is about when you know how God dealt with
for sure.
The people then.
That's great.
And, so that's more or less my story about that.
Well, it's a good story. I think that's tremendously brave. It's interesting that Miss Joyce, that you say that you knew the Bible was God's word, that you believe the Bible is God's word, but you'd never read it. Because the priests do that for you. What a brave step to step out and say, I don't trust them anymore. I'm going to study it on my own and search for it. Because so many people don't do that today. That's a great lesson, girls. It's on you. It's your salvation is up to you to study and discover it. Your faith is going to be directly tied to your personal Bible study. And if you don't study it, you're not going to grow. What a great lesson.
Well, I want to say this. Just because you are in the Church of Christ doesn't mean you have to go by what God says.
Getting into the church is not enough.
Heaven just because you're baptized and mm-hmm. you're going to
coming up out of the water isn't done. Coming on Sunday morning and sitting in the pew, she says, is not because I passed her microphone down. She says, it's not enough to get baptized. Once you have been baptized, you are a Christian, and it's your responsibility to work in the church. Aunt Pat, how'd you come to know the Lord?
Well, I was like, I grew up in the north, and it was barren land for the church, really.
Now, here's a funny story that some of y'all might know and some of you might not. My mama was a little girl in the church, and her very first Bible teacher was Goldie Summerlott.
Mom was her teacher.
Aunt Pat's mom was my mom's very first Bible Sunday school teacher Pekin, Illinois.
This is a sideline, and I can't hardly tell it without getting choked up, but Chris came every single time that she came down. She came to see Mom. And she would never sit on a chair by her. She sat at her feet.
She sat on the floor.
Like she was when she was a little girl and Mom teaching her.
Talk about learning from older women.
Oh, she loved Mother, okay?
So you grew up in the church.
I grew up in the church, but you're talking where the Bounty in the South, I was never, from the time I left the little class where you sing Jesus Loves Me, I was never in a class again of just adult classes. My first class was memorizing the first chapter of Hebrews.
Wow.
I never had a girlfriend. There wasn't even boys at church. There was just no kids. And so that camaraderie, if you've got kids that have camaraderie and friends, it's just unbelievable. And the thing of it is, I guess, is you can't, one of my key things is you can't blame God for what people do. We didn't happen to have a big church, but I couldn't say I wasn't going to believe because I didn't, you know, have classes and fun stuff to do. But I did grow up, my grandmother was very strong, my mother's mother, and they were strong enough, my mother and her, that we went before my dad started going. He was eventually baptized, and so my whole life, you know, I've been affiliated with it, and I'm thankful. And I want, Joyce, I want you to know that what you did is so much more brave and stepping out, because once if you're raised in it, it's hardly...
Sometimes I wonder if we appreciate our
exactly,
salvation as much as...
Exactly.
My daddy grew up in a denomination, and he said, one day he was sitting in the pew and said, well, I'm reading my Bible, and what he just said from the pulpit doesn't match this. And he went to his preacher and he said, why is there this disparity? Why is this different? And the preacher told him, you're going to be okay. You don't need to know that. And Daddy was like, well, it's in the Bible. You know, God obviously thought I needed to know it. So he left and he started, you know, just searching, just like you said. The bravery that is required for that.
Yeah, and deep thought. Because you can lose friends.
Yes. All right, Miss Joyce, we're going to start with you. And we're going to start because you gave us a little tidbit of it. You said, when we asked, what is the best piece of advice an older Christian ever gave you? And you said you got a lot.
Yeah, I can't just point out one thing. I mean, I looked at Bill like he was a walking Bible, like I look at David.
Yeah.
Anybody that wants to know what...
I do that.
Something, go to David and ask him.
Judy said something in a Bible class one time that I wished I had thought of it, and I've reused it. She said, I had this question, so I consulted the commentary with whom I live. I love that. We're blessed in this congregation to have had men like Bill Hatcher and Dan Jenkins and David and Josh and people.
And Dan, all Dan's classes. I mean, I urge anybody that can get it. I can't anymore. I'm not strong enough anymore to just be coming and going as much. But I would always be here for anything I could be here for. And I mean, the classes that Dan has, especially his Monday night classes, had gone through some of the major prophets and whatever. I mean, it just is, you need that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And to go over it and over it again, you never get tired of it.
Yeah.
And the Tuesday classes, and I mean, we're so blessed in this congregation to have Dan and David and now Josh, that and all the, it's just...
The opportunities that we have.
With all the classes for the children, it breaks your heart to know that there are so many that should be here and are not.
That aren't taking advantage of the opportunities that we have.
I mean, the people that are here now are the ones that are always here.
Yeah, y'all are the choir. And, we're preaching to you.
So when you know, all the people, just figure all the people that are here on Sunday, if everybody was here for everything else.
How about you, Granny?
The opportunity is...
The best piece of advice you ever got from an older Christian.
Don't give up.
Well, that's good.
Pray a lot.
Yeah.
Have people into your home.
Well, you do that.
And help the younger ones that are coming along to follow the road, right road.
Yeah.
And be as much a part of their lives as you can. because teaching, the teacher learns more than the student does.
That is the honest truth.
Yeah. And a long time ago, a bunch of the younger ladies came to me and asked, would I teach a ladies' class, which was a blessing for me. And I'm thankful for that.
Because you learn more when you're teaching.
Yes.
The person who learns the very most in a Bible class is the teacher. It's a true story.
She was wonderful.
I bet you were.
Yeah.
All right, Aunt Pat, best piece of advice. Aunt Pat's got a cheat sheet, y'all.
at like 2 o'clock in the night, I thought, I better get up and write some of that down or I won't remember in the morning.
My thing really, I can't remember a specific thing, but living with my grandma and my mom and the hospitality and the always, I mean, we always was taking kids in. And I mean, if back then the preacher didn't get put up in a hotel or a motel, they went to somebody's house. And,
yeah.
You know, all of that.
And plus, folks argued over who got to have the preacher come for lunch.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And one night it had slipped through the crack and nobody had invited him. And we lived 13 miles out of town, dark roads, no lights. And guess where he came in the night? Because mm-hmm. he knew you could knock on our door anytime. And it was fine.
Yeah.
It was, to me, that spoke a lot because he felt comfortable to do that. And so most of mine was just living in that atmosphere and tied in with that because that situation, I was the child. But children see all, hear all, and they know all. And they know whether you're in it as a farce or you're really trying. They'll forgive you faults because we all make them, but you have to be sincerely trying to be a Christian and be a good person. Or they see right through it, and that's the ones that go like, forget it.
Yeah.
That's just a play acting thing. That religion thing's not for me, because they saw their own home, it was fake. And so that's, to me, that's what was my best lesson, because
yeah.
it was real.
Well, hold on to that, Aunt Pat. I'm going to start with you, and you can pass it down the next time.
Okay.
The next question is, what would you say to Christian women today to encourage them to make those priorities?
Well, it's like I now said, when you keep on keeping on. That was a bit of advice I got from a man preacher that was, and I walked out with him because there was trouble in the fort. And I was like, what do you do? And that's what he said to me. It was so simple. You just keep on keeping on. And like I said a while ago, do not blame God for what people do.
Yeah.
People often, they just get, they're going to quit the church and they're going to do this and that. It's nothing God did. It's a faulted person that caused that. And you cannot let people rob your faith.
You can't put people in the place of God. Because if you do, you're going to be disappointed every time. Because people make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And although I have always liked the little statements, whether it's a scripture or something that means, and my other grandma, you talk about a cheesy looking thing hanging on the wall. It was one of those little leather plaques and it was had a red rose on it. But what it said was, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I read that as a kid. And it was short enough that it went in my head and I could remember it. And that has stuck with me my whole life. And whenever things get, it's a short life in the big picture. And it's only, none of what you gather up or anything, it's going to be gone. It's going to burn up. But what you do for Christ, that lasts all the way through. So that's, to me, motivating.
Granny. What would you say to Christian women today to encourage them in everyday Christian living?
Work together.
Wow. Did y'all hear that back there? Work together. Sometimes that's hard.
Yeah.
Well, it's not always available, and sometimes churches are so small that you might have one that could teach. But there's a lot of ladies in this audience here that have the ability to teach.
Did y'all hear that? There's a lot of ladies in this audience here who have the ability to teach. And when we say teach, we don't always necessarily mean standing up here in front of a bunch of ladies. We have so many opportunities to teach. Emily was hunting around looking for ladies who would help out with teaching the children's classes during lectureship. We need people who will teach in our Stepping Into the Bible. But even more than that, we think about teaching in a corporate, a group. We need to be teaching one-on-one. You know, I mean, we've talked about this before. Anybody in here remember the Jewel Miller series? Yeah. Y'all, I grew up with my mom and daddy hunting around town with that great big, like, film strip thing. Yeah, and we taught people. That's how we... Those were the things that we did on weekday evenings. We went to people's houses and we sat down at their tables and we taught people the gospel. We don't do that anymore. We think that evangelism is inviting somebody to church. And it's so much more than that. It's personal Bible study, and what that boils down to is teaching. If you think you can't teach, you haven't tried hard enough. Jesus said, teach. And He would not ask you to do something that you are not capable of doing. He wouldn't command us to do something that He didn't give us the tools to do. That's a great piece of advice, Granny. Work together to teach. What else you got?
There must be a lot up there somewhere. I don't know what that is. We all need encouragement. And if we can't get it from our sisters, we're all lacking.
Yes. Did y'all hear that back there? We all need encouragement. We all need encouragement, she said. And if we can't get it from our sisters, we are all lacking. That is the truth. The very first place that we should go for encouragement is the family that God's given us. Really, really good advice. Miss Joyce, advice for daily Christian living.
Talk to God. That's what I do all the time, talk. I did hear, it seemed to me it was from a preacher at one time from the pulpit. Praying is talking to God. And when you're thinking of sort of a formal prayer or a prayer that we hear when, you know, we're in church or a group prayer or whatever, you're not thinking about that. That stuck with me. And more, I just constantly, all day long, just talk to God. He's there with me.
Yeah.
You realize He's looking over you and He's there with you. So it's just encouraged me so much more. I don't really worry about things or think about, you know, worrying or try not to, just sort of take it easy and relax about things and just talk to God and it helps.
Well, this may go along with it then. We'll start here and we'll pass it back that direction. What advice do you have for when things get difficult? Because things will be difficult.
Same thing.
Same thing, she said. Just keep praying.
Well, like last year when I was in hospital and I was in rehab, and I knew according to whatever, you know, God wants for me, that He would, that's the way it would be. And not let myself be upset over it or whatever, just pray about it, talk to God, and let it go according to what His will is.
That's a level of acceptance that it takes a lot to get to, that what He wants to happen is what's going to happen. And in so many times when we pray, we say, God, give us this, or God, make this, or God, work this out, or God, please do this. And it's really hard for us to get to where Jesus was, which is to say, but whatever is Your will, I will accept that. And sometimes maybe what we ought to be praying is, help me to accept whatever it is that Your will is. That is great advice.
Well, it's just that, especially now in these as I'm older and older and been through just a little bit now, it just is more to think the same, that I think this way. It's not like I've always thought this way, but kind of, even when I was a Catholic. I didn't, like when I was having my children, I have 7 children. When I was going through childbirth, whatever it was like, I just always put my faith in God, not that I even knew, according to what we know, you know, that God would, I just believed in God and just put my faith in Him more. So just try not to worry about things so much. It's easier now, as I said, that I'm old and know that there probably won't be that many more years.
Granny, how about it? When things get difficult.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you have friends.
Yeah.
And you always have God.
You do. And we do.
And we all need both.
That's very true. And isn't it a blessing that He's given us those friends? He's given us... When Jesus established the church, He established a family. You know, sometimes we act like a family. Do you behave more badly within the bounds of your home than you do when you're outside of it? Yeah, like, do you sometimes act worse with your family in your house than you do when you know, because we put on our best behavior when we're outside, don't we? Sometimes we treat the church like a family, but sometimes we put up on our bad behavior. But He gave us that as a blessing. If you can't be that comfortable and that safe with your Christian family, then you haven't reached that level yet. Be a family. And that's great advice. When things are difficult, where do you go? You go to your family. You go to the church. And you go to God. And those things work in tandem together to help us through those difficult times. I remember people saying, I don't know how people out in the world get stuff done. Weddings and funerals and baby showers and births and, you know, how do folks who aren't in the church get stuff accomplished? Because we are cared for so very well by the family that God has given us. So that when things are difficult, we have that support system. That's great advice. Thank you. Aunt Pat? When things are difficult.
1 Corinthians 10:13, God won't give us more than we can bear. And believe me, there's times when you think, he must have me mixed up with someone else.
Well, here's what we know that verse to say. That verse tells us that God will not give us a temptation that is beyond what we can bear. Mm-hmm. Sometimes He's going to give us stuff. Sometimes things are going to happen in our lives that are beyond our capability of handling, and we have to accept that. But the temptation to sin is never going to be above what we can escape.
Yes.
But no matter what happens, God's with us, and He cares for us, and He has given us that mm-hmm. foundational support. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I really...
That bell's gonna get us. I think we've gone past. I heard the first bell, but I didn't hear the second bell. So real quick, we missed one question, but I'm gonna let y'all finish up. Is there anything that you feel like you would like for these ladies to know?
Yes, one thing that, and this tells my age, but there used to be a woman columnist called Irma Bombeck.
Oh yes.
And there was one little poem that I read somewhere. And the gist of it was, like, hurry up and do the dusting so you can, you know, do your nails or something. But the one line that has always stuck with me is, hurry up and whatever it was you do so you can spend time with your children before they disappear into adults. I thought that was the most profound, because your children can be with you, but that little child that looks to you and depends on you disappears into an adult. And
so
I just love that.
Oh,
hey.
So very quickly. let me let these two finish, then I'll bring you the microphone, Miss Mary.
Well, we all need one another. And if you can't supply what someone needs, maybe you know someone that can. We can be there just to help one another. And one thing I enjoyed about the ladies' class that I had was when we got into this class, and I think there was 50-something ladies the first class we had, and they were opening up and talking about private things. So I finally said, okay, what is said in this classroom does not leave this classroom. And that was the way we ran our class.
Yeah.
And like I already said, I learned more than anybody else. But spend time with one another. Life is short. And if you've got grandkids or kids that you can just spend time with,
yeah.
Let them know you and know God.
Yes, ma'am. Miss Joyce, any last words of wisdom?
Just love one another. Love everybody. And this is your church family. It's the first place you do go because you do have this in common where you can pray for one another. If your family is like mine, where I don't have everybody in the church, you go to your church family when
yep.
you need prayers. So just love one another, show that you love one another, and just keep them in your prayers and let them know that you will. And I don't know what else.
That was great. Miss Mary, you had a comment. I've heard that.
She has the wisest little things that will stick with you forever. And I'm sure other women do too.
For the recording, what Miss Mary said was, she said she's learned so much from Aunt Pat. And if you've never been over to her house, go over to her house and sit down and you won't want to leave. You'll just get all kinds of gems of wisdom. And Aunt Pat's blushing up here.
Yes.
Ladies, I want to thank you so much for your good attention. I want to thank every one of you. I know you put a lot of thought into answering those questions. Some of you laid awake at night till 2:00 in the morning thinking them up. Everything that you said this evening touched me, helped me, taught me. And I hope that you all found some really good gems that you can apply to your own walks as well. Thank you so much for being here, ladies.